I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Yeah, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
Just drive, stay in prison.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
Drive the rage, take a break. We can reach our destination.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
And it's time for the Drive to the Close. Jim Russell, principal and portfolio manager out at Ball and Gaynor. He joins us on the phone from Cincinnati. Back with us. They manage a little over $33 billion. So they know a lot about what's going on in the market. So Jim, give us some perspective as we roll into a almost fall Friday, a week where the S&P is going to end up, I believe, on an upswing for the weeks. What did you make of this shortened trading week and what really was driving it?
You know, we think a lot of things that the market was looking for maybe were at play. We got a little bit of good news out of Hong Kong, perhaps from a political standpoint. The ISM service numbers look pretty solid. We would give today's employment report maybe a gentleman's B. It was a little short on headline, but the work week and the wages looked constructive for continued consumer spending here domestically. And of course, the big announcement was that it looks like that a formal trade meeting will occur in Washington in October. So I think if you add all of those things up, that it maybe gave a better tone, a better bid to the market this week.
Yeah. Is it enough to maybe change some investment decisions, make some moves here as a result?
That's a great question. We do think the market, and I know this sounds nutty, the market is a bit dependent on some of the tweets, some of the developments, especially on the China trade negotiations. We do think that the market's almost beholden to developments there, very much like the Yellen Fed was data dependent. We think the market is somewhat tweet dependent at this particular time. There's no question that third quarter earnings will reflect concerns around trade, around exports, maybe a little bit of earnings weakness, perhaps even a negative year-over-year comparison, third quarter over third quarter. And so we do think that the market would be willing to look over near-term earnings weakness if there was some promise that things are getting a little bit better on the trade front. So I do think the Fed will help in September. So I think that one of the key missing pieces for the fall months will be developments in the trade negotiation.
And so given all that backdrop, you know, a few months left in the year here, Jim, what types of companies are you looking for? Are there specific sectors that you tend to gravitate toward with this kind of backdrop?
Yeah, Jason, we are dividend growth investors here at Ball and Gaynor on the equity side. And so we have enjoyed, frankly, pretty good flows into our type of strategy as some of the concerns around trade, around economic recessionary concerns, around economic slowdown concerns have materialized over the last several months. We have enjoyed dividend growth even when dividend growth wasn't cool. So this is what we do all the time. When the markets do get rocky, we are able to retain value, meaning our stocks don't go down much, and we are participants on up days like today. So we are a bottom-up shop as opposed to top-down, meaning that we don't really invest thematically. We do look for individual companies with great operating cash flow that can increase their dividends every single year consistently without borrowing, without floating equity, without selling a division. And we give our clients a 7 or 8% raise just from the dividend flow every single year. Plus, of course, on years like this, capital appreciation on top of that. So we have a defensive, cautious overlay by definition. And so we are seeing some individual opportunities as we move into the fall months.
Hey, listen, something that caught my attention earlier, I was reading in some research from our Bloomberg intelligence team, our equity strategy team led by Gina Martin Adams, and they said all our preconditions for the S&P 500 bull market to resume a close above resistance at the 50-day moving average, confirmed by RSI, that's relative strength index momentum, a positive reversal in the tech utilities ratio, and recovery in semiconductor stocks have been met. And they write, to light a fire strong enough to carry the index beyond former peaks, the Russell 2000, so small caps, will need to break above its 50-week moving average. And that's less than 1% away. Small caps, they're saying, should be the next in line. Do you agree?
That's a great question as well. Certainly, there's better value, perhaps, in the small caps. You know, all things being equal, if you're worried about kind of global trade concerns, economic weakness in Europe, Asia, and maybe around the world beyond that, then all things being equal, small caps should be kind of the domestic play. And if it's true that the United States is maybe the best house in an okay neighborhood economically, small caps should be ready to go. We think that small caps is maybe taking a step back, call it maybe from the spring through current months, because of a risk-off tone to the marketplace. We think that individual investors especially are very skittish, very skeptical on equities. And, of course, funds flows have confirmed that, with most individual investors selling equities and buying fixed income instruments. We think that the small caps unnecessarily have gotten caught up in that trade. So we do think that there's a good risk-reward balance and opportunity within small caps.
So, Jim, speaking of risks and rewards, what's the single biggest risk coming up in the next month or two?
Boy, that's a good question. We think that probably third quarter earnings might pose that risk. We do think that because of the scheduling of the October trade meeting, that is already set. We think the Fed is very much previewing a 25 basis point cut in mid-September. And we think that should there be a risk out there, it's probably in the area of much lower earnings than we forecast for 3Q. And again, we're looking for about a 1% decline year over year in third quarter earnings for the S&P 500.
All right, Jim, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend out there in Cincinnati. Go Reds. Principal and portfolio manager for Ball and Gainer, looking after more than $33 billion. Ball and Gainer is, as he said, a dividend growth investor. All right, well, we're headed toward an up week here on Wall Street.
Up about 1.7% on the S&P 500, and that adds on to a 2.8% gain the week before, so two consecutive weeks of gains. But I got to say, watching the markets, we're seeing a leg down here in the last few minutes of trading, so might have a little bit of a mixed end here. Stick around. We've got the closing bell in just a moment.